This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the slow but steady decline of Christian influence in the Western world, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio with us today. When the odds are against us, we stay in the field of lentils and fight with Shammah. That's one of my favorite stories in 2 Samuel 23. You know,
yeah.
There's that guy. Everybody else is leaving. All the Philistines are descending upon the field. And Shammah just stays at it. And
yep.
I think that's what we need to be doing, Bill. Even as we see other leaders falling, even as we see the wicked rising in strength, we need to lead on in faith.
I think I may have said this, but it bears repeating. I was at the gym, bumped into my former pastor, who now works at the state capitol for an elected official, a rep. And he was relating to me how, after the recent midterm election and how Colorado went totally blue, that there's a young attorney in his office that said, you know, I think I'm going to have to leave Colorado. I just don't think I can stay here under these conditions. And we finished our conversation. We were bemoaning the turn of events and the midterms. And I got in the truck and I got mad. I got angry.
Was it righteous indignation?
I hope it
48%
was.
48% righteous?
Yeah. And my thought was, that attorney needs to leave. I do not want him on my side, because when he stands next to me, when the going gets tough, he will abandon the cause. I need somebody who's got my back. And you know what? This is the time for Christians to stand.
That's right.
And there is such a clear divide between evil and righteousness. And if Christians seize the opportunity, we can win.
Stay in the field of lentils, pull the sword, speaking metaphorically, and continue the battle, my friends, with Shammah in the field of lentils. Now, the wicked do gain power, and that's just in the providence of God something that happens. The wicked gain power, and the end result is devastating, of course. But Psalm 37:35 reminds us, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away. And behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Where is that guy? You know, where's Hitler? Whatever happened to Nero? Where are these guys? Gone. Well, the world finds exceedingly wicked men gaining power, especially in our day, and some of the most wicked men in America, as bad as serial killers, are those that are legitimizing the crime of abortion. And it is a crime when somebody slaughters a tiny baby.
Yeah.
It's a crime. Andrew Cuomo, of course, the governor of New York, signed the bill, the now infamous bill, in which he legitimized effectively infanticide or the born alive abortions. And also, he legitimized anybody, even those without a medical credential, to commit the crime of abortion in the state of New York. Perhaps the most liberal, or at least the most wicked, abortion law in America, signed by Andrew Cuomo. And he's not the only governor that's stepping out and saying, hey, we are going to turn this state into a bloody, bloody red state. We are going to be known as the abortion state.
And it was accepted with a standing ovation in the legislature.
Yes, it was. In fact, New York has become the eighth state to legitimize late-term abortions. Most evil states in America are now Alaska, Colorado, that's our state, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and now New York. All have legalized this horrible, barbaric practice of late-term abortions. And Virginia is on its way.
Virginia, and here's what the governor of Virginia said today in a radio interview. He is labeled as a moderate Democrat.
No way.
This is from a moderate Democrat and Virginia governor who said this. If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. He's referring to a new piece of legislation. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
Over whether to allow the child to die.
Yes, this is post-birth abortion.
Mm-hmm.
This is infanticide.
Well, friends, wicked men do gain power. and they spread themselves like a native green tree, yet they will pass away. You know, serial killers will kill, what, 10, 20, 30 victims. But these men are responsible for the killing of millions. In fact, I think we need to remember also there are private donors that have done their best to support the killing of innocent children. Warren Buffett, you know, has funded abortions to the tune of $1.2 billion. That accounts for 2.7 million abortions. And the other bigger supporters of abortion in America are William Hewlett and David Packard from Hewlett-Packard fame.
Wow.
They're responsible for a couple hundred thousand abortions. And George Soros, of course, also responsible for his hundreds of thousands of dead babies as well. These are the biggest and most powerful killers in the world, my friends. The Mexican drug lords have hired killers for something like 200,000 killings over the last 10 years. That's an estimate. 200,000 killings for the Mexican drug lords over the last 10 years. But that's nothing compared to Warren Buffett or Hewlett and Packard and George Soros. In terms of what they've done to hire the killings of hundreds of thousands, no, make that millions of babies in this country and around the world. So that's not just... Let's not give these guys a free pass and say, you know what, the killing of babies doesn't really matter.
Yeah, these guys, their hands are clean because they're not performing the abortions. They're not the Kermit Gosnells, but they will fund the Kermit Gosnells.
But isn't that the same thing that El Chapo is saying now as he's facing trial for his murders?
I didn't kill anybody. I just provided a service.
Although in his case, I think there were a few exceptions to that. Yeah, he got a little too enthusiastic about the killings.
Right.
And I'm not sure that has happened with Warren Buffett, William Hewlett, David Packard, and George Soros. Well, my friends, be comforted that these guys, they will pass away. Their influence will pass away. Indeed, you can seek them in years from now, and they will not be found. We'll be back in just a moment on the Generations broadcast with more on this question: should the Catholic Church excommunicate Governor Andrew Cuomo? That next on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. Back on the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Bill Jack, also in studio with me today as we come back to some of the most egregious legislation ever in the history of the United States. Friends, it's important for Christians to hunger and thirst after righteousness and to take a stand for righteousness. Of course, we, of course, condemn ourselves even as we condemn the sins of others, because we all have committed sins of murder in our hearts. We've all committed sins of murder in the language we've used towards our brothers and sisters. We're all guilty of this selfishness. But it's for us to confess these sins, not to hide them, not to defend them, not to develop an approval of the most egregious forms of selfish and wicked murderous behavior on the part of the civil magistrate. That's not for us. As Christians, we have an obligation to speak the truth, confess the truth, and to fight for the lives of innocent children who are being slain by the hundreds of thousands. By the way, the abortion rate for Planned Parenthood was up, what, 3-4% last year, as was the support of Planned Parenthood on the part of your tax money. So be aware of that, that Planned Parenthood is not getting less money, but more money and killing more babies than they ever have, at least over the last several years. And friends, Andrew Cuomo has signed a bill for New York State that has legitimized abortion and indeed the born alive condition for children who survived abortions. They can be left to die in the state of New York. No more protections for babies born alive due to botched abortions in New York. And some Catholics are now pushing for excommunication for Cuomo. Recently, Cuomo touted himself as a choir boy in his Catholic church, so he apparently is still proud of his Catholic background. But several Catholic leaders are pressing for his excommunication. Albany Bishop Edward Scharfenberger says the excommunication would be a last resort. And Tennessee Bishop Rick Sitka of Knoxville, Tennessee, tweeted that if it were up to him, he would excommunicate Cuomo. But of course, Tennessee is pretty much the most conservative state, and Knoxville is probably the most conservative area in the country. So, of course, he could get away with saying that in Tennessee. It's just harder when you're standing in the state of New York and you're pressing for something that would be politically incorrect, and you could get some real pushback from your membership in the church in New York. And by the way, here's what the most powerful Catholic in New York is saying about this. Cardinal Timothy Dolan, he's Archbishop of New York, said on Fox and Friends Monday that to excommunicate the governor would be ammunition for pro-abortion opponents who would dismiss the issue as a Catholic one and not a human rights issue. He said excommunication for anyone who performed abortions or supported the practice was the norm until about 50 years ago, which would have been right around the time that the country legitimized child killing in 1973. For some reason, somewhere around 1973, the Roman Catholic Church decided not to impose excommunication for any of its political leaders that would want to bring about the wholesale murder of children. The church is a chameleon. It never stands against the culture. It just capitulates to it again and again and again and again. So what else is new, I guess, is my question.
Right.
They're not going to excommunicate Governor Cuomo. You know, no, they're not going to do anything like that.
It's like the movie The Godfather. Yeah. You know, and The Godfather was the mafia.
Yeah.
Don, and he wasn't excommunicated. He gave enough money to the church that he bought his penance, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, these powerful top-down churches are in cahoots with evil more often than not. I mean, there are exceptions to that rule.
You gotta
understand that.
You got to follow the money.
Yeah. Well, here's the clincher, though, in what Dolan said. This is Cardinal Dolan speaking concerning the excommunication of New York Governor Cuomo. This is what he said. He's not going to be moved by this, so what's the use? And so that's his argument for not excommunicating the governor, i.e., church discipline is useless. Church discipline really doesn't have any effect on anybody anyway because, well, A, nobody really respects the church amongst evangelicals or Catholics anyway, so he doesn't even respect the authority of the church anyway. And who cares about church discipline? Well, it turns out church discipline has powerful spiritual implications on people. It's just that most people today don't believe that, including evidently the cardinal. He doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all things to the church, far above all principalities and powers. He doesn't respect the power of church discipline. I've seen people excommunicated from the church. They become demon-possessed. They turn into mental problems and are checked out into mental institutions. They're put in maximum security prison. These are the kinds of things I have seen in the 3 or 4 or 5 cases where a church is pressed to excommunicate. Not good. Not good stuff. 1 Corinthians 5 actually is true. Jesus Christ really does exist. Satan really does exist. You really turn people over to Satan. when you excommunicate the person. I'm telling you, friends, I know this is crazy in the minds of most people. They don't believe God exists. They don't believe Jesus exists. They don't believe Jesus is powerful. They don't believe the devil exists. And they don't believe excommunication does anything. I realize that's the way most evangelicals, most Americans think about these things. But if it's a real church and somebody is getting excommunicated, these people are really turned over to Satan. And my encouragement to Cardinal Dolan and to everybody else is to respect the church and respect the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and respect church discipline. You don't mess with Texas and you don't mess with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ more so. And I say that respectfully. I truly believe that you mess with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get excommunicated, you thumb your nose at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You thumb your nose at Jesus. You will pay for that.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians passage says that he turns him over to Satan so that his body may be destroyed, but his soul saved.
Mm-hmm. Which is the objective.
Mm-hmm. That's the objective. But there are severe consequences to church discipline that Cardinal Dolan is overlooking.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks it's merely the joining and the rescinding of membership in a social club. And you're right. This is an affront to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it needs to be dealt with by the church.
You know, the real problem here is that whatever this church used to be, the real impact for righteousness from this institution is now nil. That is, the Catholic Church does not have an impact. It represents a powerless gospel, a form of godliness that lacks the power thereof. Catholic women are more enthusiastic about abortion than the rest of the population. In other words, 24% of those who kill their own children are Catholics, and Catholics only make up 22% of the population. You follow me? So there is not a significant influence. There is no influence. There's a negative influence of the Catholic Church upon this country.
That's
the conclusion.
Because they deny, there's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
It's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And here's the other thing. A church that will not excommunicate child molesters and child killers is not a real church, guys. If your local church, let's just take your local evangelical church. I'm cross-denominational on this one, Bill.
Yeah.
I'm not just pointing my finger at the Catholics. I'm saying if your evangelical church that you attend down in Castle Rock refuses to excommunicate child molesters and child murderers, get out.
Yeah, shake the dust off your feet.
Yeah, get out, and get out now.
I have seen church discipline exercised in very rare occasions, and when it is handled biblically, the result is the restoration of a brother who is in sin.
I've seen that happen.
And that is the purpose.
Yeah.
That is because we want to emphasize how serious the sin is and how it breaks relationships with God and with your fellow believers.
Yeah.
You are outside the family confines there, and you are adrift in a secular society, which should make the Christian miserable because he has no communion with the saints.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it.
Yeah.
And until a church becomes serious about applying biblical principles in every area, including this, then we can expect a watered-down membership club kind of atmosphere in the country club of the church.
You know, the situation with Governor Cuomo and the failure of the Catholic Church to excommunicate or to do anything in terms of its authority over its membership. I was thinking of Pastor Ambrose and Theodosius in the year 390 AD. You know, where are the people with the guts of Ambrose who stood up against Theodosius, the Roman emperor? Do you remember this story? This is at a time when leaders actually feared God. I know that's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But there were church leaders and civil leaders who actually feared God.
Yeah.
It's just extraordinary. I know people are thinking, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
There was a period of time in which church leaders and civil leaders feared God.
Don't we have separation of church and state?
Yeah. They did. Pastor Ambrose refused to serve communion in the presence of the emperor because of what he did in Thessalonica. Theodosius had sent his troops into Thessalonica and massacred 7,000 people And Ambrose got wind of this, would not serve communion to Theodosius until he repented. Here's Ambrose explaining himself. What could I do? Okay, he's saying, this is why I stood against the emperor of the entire empire. Okay, this is why I did it. Pastor Ambrose, not like any of the wishy-washy, flimsy-flamsy post-Christian church you see today. No, this is Ambrose explaining himself. What could I do? Should I not hear? But I could not clog my ears with wax, as old fables tell. Should I then speak about what I heard? But I was obliged to avoid precisely what I feared could be brought about by your orders, that is, a bloodshed, speaking to Theodosius. Should I remain silent? But then the worst thing could happen, as my conscience would be bound and my words taken away, and where would they be then? When a priest does not talk to a sinner, then the sinner will die in his sin, and the priest will be guilty because he failed to correct him. That's almost exactly what you just said. That's what Ambrose said to Theodosius. If I did not correct you, I would be guilty for the damnation or the judgment that comes upon you.
Yeah.
Wow, these guys believed in God.
Oh, that a Cardinal Dolan would stand and speak to those in positions of power like that.
Well, they believed that God was real. They believed that God is real. They believed that God's judgment is real, that Christ is real. And I know this is very strange for people who are listening now, but yes, people believed in God. They believed in God's judgment. And that absolutely, we need to repent of our sins. Otherwise, we risk an eternal judgment. And these men understood that. What does the Word of God say? Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 5, which is where the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Corinth to engage in church discipline in the case of a man who was engaged in sexual immorality of a kind that is not tolerated even among the pagans, for a man has his father's wife. And Paul says, your boasting is not good. He says, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. And then he says, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival. That is, let's celebrate the Lord's Supper, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So as the Catholic Church in New York invites the governor to their table, they will befoul the table with all of that leaven, and a curse will remain upon them.
Mm.
Well, Governor Cuomo responded to the complaints in another article that I just read this morning. He says, the Catholic Church doesn't believe in a woman's right to choose. I understand their religious view. I'm not here to represent a religion. I'm here to represent all the people and the constitutional rights and limitations for all the people, not as a Catholic. Ergo, I separate my faith, my religion, from the way I live. Ergo, I will not live my life according to my religious beliefs, because they are not my religious beliefs. My religious beliefs are really humanism, materialism, and autonomy, humanistic autonomy, where I can kill whoever I want if they happen to get in my way. So again, my friends, people fake religion in America. They fake that they believe in God, but God can see through all of this. He says they draw near me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, which means they're just not interested in my words. They
excommunicate him? Why not excommunicate him? Because he doesn't believe it anyway.
Yeah, I know. I
mean, it's a formality.
Yeah, it's just a big formality anyway. Yeah. So
it's a big show.
Not?
It's why a show
not?
Trial.
And I don't think he would care.
No,
if they excommunicated him,
and he would try to spin it for his, he was a victim.
Well, let's conclude the program by just simply saying that we need to fear God. We need to realize that we are sinners, and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need his cleansing. We need his forgiveness. We need his atoning work on the cross for our sins. But the first thing we need to do is we need to acknowledge that God is right, that his law is right, that we have sinned, we have broken his law as defined by him, and repent of our sins, and then seek that forgiveness by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we wrap up this edition of the program, I'd encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith, on family and sexuality, we have an entire chapter on a biblical perspective on the sin of abortion. This is one of the salient sins of the day. And if you're not prepared, if you don't understand these sins, you don't understand the biblical perspective on these things, friends, you need to equip yourself. You need to wake up and equip yourself on these critical battle issues in our day. Get a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.